to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I can remember years ago when I would cover teams, and like the head coach would be the same age as me. It was weird to me. And I was like, because I got you, like when you first get into the business, you're like 24, 25 years old. You're covering these coaches that are older. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is the first coach that's younger than me. Our next guest, Trent Bray, I covered him when he was a player at Oregon State. It hits me like a bag of bricks. He's joining us, Oregon State coach. All right, your senior year final game. What was the last game you played for Oregon State?
It was the Civil War against Oregon.
All right. The bowl game the year before, was that the Insight Bowl against Notre Dame?
Yes. Yep.
I was there, man. I was in the press box covering you as a player. It's so weird for me. And Gunderson as a player, too. This, I'm looking at this staff and I'm going, I've watched these guys grow up. It's weird for me.
Yeah, I would think so.
It's strange. It's strange. All right. All right. So let me, before we get into Purdue and talking about this week and all the stuff that everybody else asks you about, I want to ask you, like, when you were a young assistant coach in college, you got assigned a recruiting territory. Can you help us understand how that works? Like, head coach comes to you and says what? Like, what's your territory?
Yeah. Well, back then when I was young, it was a lot of area recruiting. And so say I'd have a certain section of California. And so my job was to basically identify and round up names and collect film of guys that I thought were Pac-12 or caliber players that we needed to recruit, and then bring that back and disperse it to position coaches. So that's kind of how the area coach deal worked.
And then do you start to, over time, develop relationships? Like, hey, you get to know the high school coach, get to know, you know, certain guys, certain programs, or, you know, and when they see you, they know you. Is there a familiarity that happens over time?
Yes, absolutely. And that's why a lot of guys were in areas a long time, even, no matter what school they were at, because they had those connections. That's not as big a deal today in recruiting, but back okay. when I was first starting, it was a big deal.
Okay, so then later, like, because you're not doing home visits at that point. You're just kind of like the advanced scout, right, as the young guy?
Yeah, I mean, there's kind of two. There's spring, which is advanced scouting your area, and then there's the January, where you're doing in-home visits and doing all that stuff with recruits.
Okay, so you're going to educate us all here. I got to think, like, when you're doing home visits, it's not just like you're going to one guy's house on the trip. You're going to multiple houses, and so you're kind of dropping in on a lot of different families. I'm thinking maybe they're eating dinner, or maybe they go, oh, coach is coming over. We got to have food for you. You don't want to be rude. Like, how many times were you in a setting where you are just stuffed to the gill with food, but you don't want to be rude?
That's happened a couple times. That's definitely, you never know what you're going to walk into. Sometimes they tell you up front, which is nice, but sometimes you just, you get there and you find out. And so, yeah, there's times I've eaten 3 to 4 dinners in the night.
And then how does that go, though? Like, if you're, you know, one time I had a girl in college who brought me home, and I ate right before I went to her mom's house, and then her mom made a big dinner. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm gonna get sick, but I need to eat this meal. So what do you do in that scenario?
Yeah, if I had, say, 3 home visits that night, I would portion out my meals at each house and make sure I didn't stuff myself.
Look, you're just chewing really slowly so that you're like, I don't want to do this. Okay, so now as a head coach, are you, like, you haven't, like, been in this for several years as the head coach, but how interested are you in getting out and meeting with recruits versus maybe letting your guys, your position coaches, your coordinators do that stuff?
I've always liked that part of it, getting to know the kids you're recruiting and trying to bring into your program. So that's always been a fun thing for me. So I'm looking forward to it when it happens.
Trent Bray with us, Oregon State football coach. All right, you come out of the Civil War game, you look at film. What did you see? What jumped out at you, maybe, you know, first half, second half difference as you're evaluating film on Saturday night and Sunday?
Yeah, I thought the first half, I thought we did a good job of dictating the way the game was played. It was kind of being played the way we wanted it to. you know, they had only had like 21 total plays at the time. It was a one score game. I thought we were in it. Kind of let it slip away there in the third quarter is really when that game turned. You know, we had a couple three and outs, and they capitalized on those, and that's kind of when it got away from us. But overall, it just, I think, we just got away from some stuff, you know, a young team in a big moment. We got away from some stuff that we don't normally do. Like, we weren't as tight in coverage as we normally play. We cut some guys loose that normally we wouldn't. So it was just kind of a series of mistakes that happened kind of back-to-back-to-back that led to that thing getting out of hand.
I felt like your margins were tight because, you know, look, I'm not making an excuse for you guys, but this is a first-year thing for you. You lost a lot in the portal from last year. They have a lot of depth and a lot of returners and guys that can touch the ball and turn it into seven right away. And so I felt like you guys needed to play a very efficient game. I thought, I looked at the plays, too, at halftime. Your play disparity was way out of whack. I only saw two real mistakes in the first half. You had a penalty as you're driving early, and then you kind of mess up the field goal attempt. And, you know, was there anything else that you saw in that first half that kind of jumped out at you?
There was only the two, the one you just mentioned, and then that second down long run was just not good. Yeah. You know, that was a quick score. You know, if we make them at least have to drive and put right. something together over time, then, you know, that's going to shrink the half as well. You know, so those were the two ones that in the first half I thought got away from us. But overall, I thought the first half was pretty efficient and was happy.
Purdue's coming in after, a real lopsided outcome last week against Notre Dame. And I can't decide if that's good or bad, if you want to play a team after a loss like that, or does it tell you something that you need to know? And, you know, how do you scout a team, you know, that has an outcome like that? Or, you know, do you try to be careful to not look too much into that, but you need to know what that opposition did to them as well?
Yeah, I think that's what you're looking at, is what did the opponent do to them that got them in that position? Just like they're looking at what Oregon do to us to get us in that position. But college football, as you know, and you watch it every weekend, is it's a week-to-week thing. What happened last week has no bearing, good or bad, on what's going to happen the next weekend. You got to be able to show up and be ready to play your best every Saturday.
Was it energizing at all for you guys, you know, kind of peripheral to the football, that, you know, the conference is starting to make some positive maneuvers and shape what it's going to be? You're getting, you know, an opponent, Wake Forest, you know, mentioned and locked down for next season. And it looks like the future's starting to crystallize even as you have a season to focus on. Is that at all sort of energizing to you guys?
I think it is to the program. Definitely recruiting, you know, because that was the big negative recruitment that everyone hit us on this last offseason was, you know, no conference, you know, all this other stuff, and it goes, no, well, now we know, hey, Pac-12's rebuilding. Like, there's a future for us in a conference. So I think it's really good, and we added some really good teams that I think could have made an argument to be in the old Pac-12. I mean, you look at Boise State and Fresno State, and, I mean, those teams were as tough as anyone to play.
I think, you know, the next wave will be, people will be like, oh, it's a glorified Mountain West. You don't have access to the playoff, but you do. You do have access to the playoff in the Pac-12 if you can put this thing together. And I have found that, like, even some sports writers in the press box need to be educated on that. I'm like, hey, it's the top five highest-ranked conference champions. This conference looks like it would be one of those, you know, you're going to have access, and you're not going to have to climb over Ohio State and Michigan and Georgia to get to a playoff. And, you know, I feel like you're going to have to do a little bit of that work in the recruiting world, but that's better than, hey, they don't have a future, right?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question.
What do you need out of your quarterback to win games?
I think he's moving in the right direction. I think he's gotten better every week. He had some really nice throws on Saturday. Had a couple nice runs when things broke down. I've been very happy with his progression, you know, through that. There's still stuff that he needs to clean up and do better. But as far as his progression and where he's at right now, and hopefully continues on that better, even better this Saturday, I feel good about what he's done and what he can do.
You've got Big Ten opponents in back-to-back weeks at Reser Stadium. I'm going to guess that's never happened. And so expecting that the crowd on Saturday will show back up. You know, the students aren't back in school yet, and I noticed a little bit of that, even though there were a lot of students there, that the atmosphere from, you know, the young freshmen weren't in the dorms yet. Like, you know, what do you need from this crowd on Saturday night?
I think it's the same thing as always. It's just it's noise and energy. The one thing that we've been so successful here, our players feed off that energy. I think it's intimidating for other schools, especially schools that haven't experienced it. I think it's a different environment than a lot of people play in.
All right, let's go back to those home visits. You're now, as a head coach, kind of setting the tone for what you want out of these recruits. And, you know, I'm curious what matters to you. You know, how they interact with their parents, does that matter? Do you, you know, how much research will you do on these guys, you know, as they, it pertains to, you know, their school teachers? Can you even do that? Like, take us through how that works when you're kind of looking at the character of a recruit.
Yeah, all that. By the time we have a home visit, we pretty much know what we're walking into, because we've done so much pre-scouting, talk to coaches, talk to people in the school. We've had many conversations over the phone with both them and their parents, you know, because the wiring and who the kid is and, you know, his motivation, his determination, his, you know, how he treats other people is all a big part of what we want to bring into this program. And there haven't been many times where we've done a home visit and the kids turned us off to where we backed out. But if something we see in that, when we do that home visit in home, the way he treats his parents or something like that, we have never been afraid to say this isn't the guy for us.
Trent Bray with us. Okay. Do you have a food that you just don't like? Like if mom was serving it, that even, you know, let's say it's a quarterback or a linebacker. Let's say it's a linebacker, because I'm going to speak to your heart here. Linebacker who can just flat play, but mom's serving something Trent Bray, like, give me the food that's like your peeve, like the one thing that you're like, I just don't do that.
That would be Brussels sprouts.
Would you eat Brussels sprouts, though, for, like, Lawrence Taylor, like, to come to Oregon State?
Oh, there's no question. I'd have seconds. Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, I'll have some more. I gotta love those sprouts. Yeah. All right, listen, I'll see you at the stadium. I appreciate you making time, but I had never really thought about the food angle there, and the idea that you're like, do you gain weight during recruiting season? Your guys come in, you got to work out, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, that's always the hardest part, is all the official visits, the home visits. There's a lot of food, so you got to be careful.
Got to be careful. All right, pace yourself. I'll see you Saturday. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it. All right,
appreciate
there. There he goes, Trent Bray. I mean, imagine it. You know, Anna's still here, so I just want to pop this up because you were here. Sorry, a little bit of static there. But, okay, I'm going to tell a story. Okay, so I'm in college, and this girl says to me, you know, come home with me. I want you to meet my parents, okay?
It's a big deal.
And I said, okay. And so I go with her, you know, it was about an hour and a half to her parents' house, and her brothers... She dropped me at her brother's house, and there was two brothers, and they said, we ordered pizza. And they ordered pizza, and I was hungry, and I ate pizza.
Uh-huh.
And then the brothers transported me back to the parents' house, and mom had made this full spread of food. And I just looked at the two brothers like, you sons of a gun, because I just filled up on pizza.
They hosed you.
They totally hosed me. And I sat there, and, you know, I thought I needed to go like a Roman right now, and just, I need to go throw up all this pizza and so I can eat, like, it crossed my mind. But I was like, I'm just going to have to suck this up. I was so uncomfortable in trying to eat so as to not offend the mother, while also knowing the two brothers had absolutely hosed me.
Oh, they must have done that to other people. They had that down.
Apparently, they didn't want me around, but I never came back.
Yeah.
But let me ask you that. What did you think of Trent Bray saying he has to go and pace himself?
That's great. I mean, that's the kind of insight that is so charming and interesting, and it's like taking us somewhere that we don't normally go, that we would never know that. If we didn't hear it directly from him. So I like that he's opening up too. Like you can tell he's just getting more comfortable and, you know, talking a little more.
I didn't realize how I had covered him so much. Like, I looked at his playing bio, and it was like he was the MVP of the Insight Bowl against Notre Dame, and I was like, I was at that game. And I was like, wait a minute. Like, how many games that Trent Bray played in did I cover? And it's like, you know, pretty much his college career.
Yeah.
I was there.
Just his whole college career, for the most part.
It didn't occur to me at the time he was going to grow up and be the coach.
Yeah.
You know, I would have been nicer to him. You know, like, no. But, like, a kid like Ryan Gunderson. I say kid because, you know, Gunderson was at Central Catholic High School. Then he went to Oregon State. And, I remember talking to him when he was on the bench at Oregon State playing quarterback.
Isn't that kind of what makes it fun, though? I mean, because you've been here and you guess. Other than the fact that now you feel old.
It's not that I feel old. It's just weird. Yeah. It's just I am. I didn't consider that as a possibility. I didn't think I would live this long. I didn't think I would work this long. Maybe I don't know. I don't know what it's about. But we shall see. All right. We got to name this WNBA team in Portland. I want your suggestions. What should it be called? 503-417-7575.